A trigger warning: this episode includes discussion about rape, sexual assault, trauma, and mental health. And we're back. Can we shift gears just a little bit?
Sure, with the gear.
I do want to talk to you
about
New York.
Okay. What do you want to talk about? Well, first of all,
please.
I would like to say
please
that I did not hate the season. And I'm glad that I found my tribe online who also did not hate the season. I think it has been so unpopular to say that you like it that the people who like it aren't saying anything at all. I was like, no, some people like genuinely liked watching the season. And the reason, a lot of it is the same reason I like Salt Lake City, is because you have these really, really abnormal people behaving in really abnormal ways. And it is fascinating to watch these people behave the way they behave. It's like, no normal person would do these things. So I think it was entertaining. I had a good time watching it. I don't really get all the hate for the show. I thought, I'm ready for season three. What are we going to do? Like, a lot of people are like, oh, cancel it. I'm like, nah, bring them back. Let's see how we deal with this.
The nicest thing you could say about this season, it's a compliment to say these people are abnormal.
Yeah, they're abnormal. They are so weird.
That is drawing more value from these individual people genuinely by calling them abnormal. I think the worst part of this show is that there's not a lot of abnormality going on. There's unwell.
Yeah, that is also abnormal. Most people are not this unwell. So that is abnormal. It's like, yes, all of you, like, y'all are real broken abnormal.
So would you like the cast in full to be back?
Is there anybody I would kick off the cast? Who do I not want to see come back? No, I want to see everybody deal with what happened.
What happened?
I want to see everybody deal with the Bryn fallout. Like, what's going to happen? What's her relationship going to be to them next year?
Wouldn't that be kind of like a half hour special, though?
No, because I think because they're abnormal, most of them will move on. That's what I think.
Move on, meaning?
Like we have moved past this. Like, she'll have her like little moment of contrition and then we will move past it. Everybody except Uba, I think, will be fine.
Huh.
And then even Uba, like, Uba has like such this capacity for emotion and care and stuff. And like her... but she feels everything so deeply. I think even Uba would get over it because she does feel things so deeply. And she, I don't think she would want to be on an island by herself as the only one who is not on good terms, or at least like cordial terms with Bryn. If everybody else came around, I think Uba would too. But also, like, if anybody was going to leave, I would want it to be Uba because she doesn't like doing the show. Mm. She would be much happier in her life just living her Connecticut, like, lovely rich woman life without these women that she does not like and she doesn't need anymore. So there's no reason for her to do the show. And for me, like, Uba is not fun to watch. And I'm really curious about production's relationship to Uba, because my understanding throughout all the years is that if production likes you, you get a little nicer edit.
Giselle.
Right.
Kyle.
If production does not
Lisa
like
Vanderpump.
You, you get a little worse edit. And so for me, like, hearing or reading what Uba has said about some of those situations and how they, like, the Puerto Rico beach and stuff, and like what Uba was actually saying versus what was on TV, I'm like, what is your relationship to production to where they would do this to you over and over?
So can you share a little bit about that? Because you're mentioning Uba's interview with Glamour, which
was it Glamour magazine? Is that what I read?
I think it was.
It was
Fuck
somebody's
me.
Magazine.
It was Google it. I think it was Glamour. And I'm going to be recording today, so the episode will be out now, a reading Rainbow, Satchel, Spectacular, and Patreon, because I've done that a couple times where I've like fully dived the fuck in into like long form interviews. Mm. I'm a reader. And so Uba's was one that I really wanted to deep dive. But can you?
So on the show, I was really pissed off at Uba. I felt the same way that Raquel did and that Cy did, is that you're going to Puerto Rico and somebody's trying to show you a piece of themselves. It was like, this is a beach that was very important to me growing up. It's not a touristy beach, but this is like a place that means a lot to me. And you get there and you're like, it's dirty. There's dead pigeons. This is terrible. Like, you are trashing this place. And then what Uba is saying in the interview is like, no, we had to cross a stream to get there. And the stream had a dead pigeon in it. And I'm saying that, like, not the beach is dirty and this is the worst place in the world, but like, no, I was commenting on this, like, no, don't step in that stream because I had a cut on her foot. And I was like, no, don't step in that because I don't want you to get infected in the stream that we're going toward. It colors it a lot differently than the way production let it show on the show. And I'm like, do they hate her? Like, are they not on Uba's team and that's why we're seeing it? And so if I'm thinking about it in terms of Uba, I'm like, all right, so this is really what happened in this situation where I was so upset with her. How many other things across that the season feel the same way? And it's like, where like I'm annoyed at something that's happening on the screen, but maybe it was a production choice and maybe production is making worse choices than the women actually are.
And I think also Uba's upset about criticism over how she used cancer, like literally.
Whoa, that like, one was even worse. That one was like, yeah, oh my goodness.
Like the fact that it felt callous, that she like literally used callous. The word cancer and understanding all everything behind that. And then in the interview, she's saying both of my parents died from cancer. My
like,
mom,
like within days or something. Oh no, a
within
few hours.
Hours
yeah.
It was like several hours after being told how bad her state was, and then she passed away. So it's both about how it was shown on TV as well as like the cast knew this. Mm-hmm. So how do you say that I don't have an awareness of the impact of cancer on people's lives, right, when both of my parents died of cancer? Like that's
some, like, how did we get this edit?
But it doesn't mean, which doesn't mean, because this is the thing, is that people jump to, well, you're, but Uba, you know, as you said, maybe wasn't a good fit this season. And also, did she react in ways that felt sort of blind to other people? Absolutely. You're saying exact. I think you're saying you've noted that there, but there are also these really specific moments where I was like, well, fuck, I didn't know about the stream. Like there'd be no, and like the cut. So I,
but, so it's like maybe she doesn't dislike the women as much as I think she dislikes them based on what I'm seeing on TV. Like maybe she is, maybe she would be fine for another season. Maybe she doesn't hate it as much as the show is making me feel like she hates it. Like I really don't know. But it feels like to me that it's like badly produced in a way that I wouldn't know about if they weren't doing interviews.
It feels especially punitive.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's a punitive way of producing that is like, callous and strange.
And I don't understand why they would do that to her. Like, so that's why I was just curious. I'm like, I wonder what her relationship to the producers is. Because she doesn't seem like somebody who would be mean to production. But, that, you know, you'd have I don't to know ask, her. So.
I don't know. I think the ways that she communicates is obviously very different from the ways that Bryn communicates. And it feels
or
like
most people.
Correct. And it feels like Bryn has a different relationship to production or a different relationship.
And the truth.
And the truth. But also the edit is playing catch up with some of that. Mm-hmm. The edit maybe isn't as helpful to Uba, to defending what Uba's saying now in real time. It's just not coming up in that way on the show. But with Bryn, what's not helping her is the number of times that the edit is reflecting the diametric opposite yep. of what she is claiming yep. happened.
I think that...
which isn't an opinion.
No, it's very evident. I think that Cy was like the best at calling it out because she was basically like, you keep saying this about me. There's been no back clips that show me lying. Like, but you,
like,
over
Cy's
and over
dick.
And over.
Cy's yeah. been a dick.
Yeah, but she ain't lied.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I got it. Cy actually had a really good season, like a big turnaround from the first season. I don't know if you remember, like we were talking about at the end of the first season about like who would, you know, rise to the occasion on the second season and who would flop. And you literally said Bryn would flop.
Did I?
You did. You literally said Bryn would flop. And I disagreed.
Just listen to everything that I say right? then.
I disagreed. Oh, I was like, no, I can't imagine it. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you literally said that and I disagreed. Because like this whole season, I was like, dang, Sarah was right.
It like happens.
She really shat the bed, didn't she?
meaning Bryn, not Sarah.
Yeah.
Not Sarah. It could happen. It could absolutely happen.
But yeah, what a fall from grace. And I don't. I want to see the rest of the reunion to see like if she ever
that comes, one more episode.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to see if she ever comes to a point where she actually realizes what she's done. I don't think she will in the reunion. I think that if they get another season, she would. And I don't know if it would be genuine or if it would be fake so she could stay on the season. But there's like no part of her that is accepting the magnitude of the situation at all.
She doesn't think the magnitude has validity. She would argue it didn't happen. And there is no reason nor expectation for, in my eyes, a single person to think.
It's like, that why is everybody mad at me?
Bryn can't perform regret or accountability. She tried with Jessel. It lasted 3 seconds. She held out her hand. She was like, this is enough. The thing that
Don't touch me.
The thing that frustrated me during that episode specific to Bryn's actions, maybe more than anything else, it's not great that it happened like in the first minute, was when she was sitting in glam watching the finale, the perfect time and place in which to process that.
Yeah.
And she like, it was,
she looked like incredulous at what she was seeing.
She looked especially incredulous at people expressing upset on Uba's behalf, which I was like,
'cause she really thought that everybody was going to be on her side.
It's not just that. It's that she's the victim of people feeling bad for Uba. Yeah. She's the victim of that. How dare they? All of the pie is for me. Nobody gets any more pie.
Nobody gets any sympathy pie but me.
But also, like, how dare you take away my pie to give pie?
It to
she
Uba.
Said that about Jenna. She said that about Jenna. The only way for people to get to like Jenna more was to like me less. So for 5 weeks,
it's a zero sum. Like you,
yeah.
There's not enough like to go around. It has to just be like concentrated on one person. We can't grow like. So I mean, very dangerous mindset, especially if you have like kids. I was like, so when you have a kid and you love this kid with all your heart, when you have another one, does the love transfer or does it grow? And for Bryn, I'm not sure if it grows.
I think Bryn is deeply unwell.
Yeah.
And I personally,
you know what my name
I've reached
on,
my limit.
My name on Blue Sky is?
No.
My name on Blue Sky is Bryn's useless therapist. That's my name right now on Blue Sky.
I don't
Before
know.
Before that, it was Uba's anger management coach. But now I have flipped because now I'm like, okay, Uba, you were in the right, so let me flip. So now I've flipped to Bryn's useless therapist.
I think what Sai got done in 4 months, if we could get 10 minutes with that person,
yeah,
in
they
a
were
room
acting
with
like
Bryn,
she didn't go for long enough. I was like, I see the change.
I know.
I think she got her money's worth.
And listen,
she did great. Overachiever.
I've been in intensive whatever for several years. I also, you were talking about antidepressants before. I expect that I will be on my antidepressant for the rest of my life. I have no problems with that. Like, genuinely, this is a part of my life and how I manage my life in a way that helps me. It's a daily vitamin for my spirit and brain.
I don't have anything against
them.
Like,
no,
I would still be on them, but I had erectile dysfunction. I wanted to get off of those fucking things. So I was like, no, I would rather have sex than be happy. So... Let me get off of these.
So you can get off.
So I can get off and then be happy. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I've had a great time on on it.
Now you sound like a crazy pill
that sounds
side.
Nuts, but it's
she
like
she doesn't have any cats though, just pills.
No, although I've been looking at cats. It's uh-oh. Not, but I can't do it. I can't. I'm not that person. I'm a dog person.
They'll
I identify.
They'd tear the cloth is up.
It's there would need to be strict regulations and stuff.
Gate.
truly, that's the closest I'll get to a baby. To get a fucking dog. That's my dream in life. Apologies to the vice president, but like, I want to be a parent. I think there's a lot of value in being a dog mom, and that is the journey that I would like to take when I get old enough. Thank you. I would like it for myself. So for me, it's like, it's not that I don't have like moments, but it's just kind of smoothing some of this out. So I have a chance to like fight. And so with Brynn, the ways that she talks about therapy as being a thing that she does versus, and maybe this is too like picky, but I don't feel like there's movement happening in the ways that you like exercise therapy, where it's not what you're doing inside the room. It's like what you're doing,
applying it outside
to your life.
Like, you're going to learn stuff in therapy. I think she probably sees therapy as, and there are different kinds of therapy and different kinds of therapists that work for you. And I think she sees therapy as a place to talk at someone, as opposed to learn things to help her life. So it's like more like talking about things that have happened, and maybe like that, maybe that talking out loud is helpful to process. Like, it could be very helpful, but she may be the kind of person who needs to like implement more skills that you would learn in therapy, as opposed to a place that you're using therapy to just talk through an issue. Like, you know, maybe that would help more.
Yeah, I think of therapy more as like a muscle that you're developing, but that needs to be strengthened. And the difficulty for me in watching Brynn's behavior on the show and during the reunion is like, so much of it feels just so deeply manipulative that I don't find a lot of entertainment value from watching it, because I'm just at points disgusted, and at other points just kind of like sad and maybe frustrated too, but also like, I certainly feel a lot of empathy for her, but I also think I don't think reality TV will ever serve her. I don't think this is a good fit for her, and I don't think overall it's a good fit for the audience. And listen, we should hope for wanting to be entertained. Like, the goal is to want the show to continue.
For me, her being manipulative is entertaining to me.
Okay.
So like, that's why it's like, I've seen way worse behavior that I can still watch. And so for me, her reacting the way she is really abnormal. I would never come across it in my life. And then seeing people react back to her in the various ways of, you know, the kind of person they are, I think it's very fascinating to watch these people navigate this person in their midst. It was like this coworker that you have who behaves this way. And how do you navigate it as like, you know, a regular person, like as they see themselves, you know?
I think she's more of a liability than not.
Like, in what way?
I think it's like in all the ways. Genuinely, I think she's a stop. We can't get beyond this when she's still a part of it, because she won't allow us to. She's right where she lives.
And I think that's why I want to see if we do.
But why we cannot get beyond this.
We don't know.
I do know.
Oh, you do know.
I see the truth as you. I see the future. Hold on a second.
I said you were
I wonder if we're going 2 for 2, because.
Well, that would be interesting.
I think.
Then they can put you as a producer.
I think I just have eyes. I don't even think that's like smart of me. I think it's just I'm watching what's happening. I read her post finale. I read her post finale interview where she did the exact same thing.
That was crazy. I was like, this was after the reunion? You believe that you were in a good space with these women? Yeah, no, from her like her post reunion interview. It was wild to see that part. I was like, you really left that reunion thinking you were in a good space with people?
Why would you think that she would be behaving any differently? What evidence have we seen?
I'm very curious to see the second half of the reunion to see why she would think that she is on good terms with anybody.
I think she's a deeply traumatized person, which doesn't mean that she gets to write herself a permission slip for what her actions in her life and how it affects other people. And she is trying consistently to convince us that that perspective is not only wrong, but like unethical and immoral. And I don't know that that's going to work out for her. And it's also just kind of, this is the thing with like life and people being contradictory, is it boggles my mind that she specializes, or tells us that her work specializes in PR strategy and comm strategy.
But she is so with bad a focus at her on own scandal. PR. Like,
that's the thing. It's like there are movements that she makes that are so sort of odd to me. That's the nicest way to say it.
Well, I said they were all abnormal.
Yeah, but I just don't think that she, if we're looking at the show as a puzzle and we're trying to figure out how any of these pieces will fit ever again, there is no
argument. Well, they never fit from the beginning.
Exactly.
So they never really fit
from
the beginning.
Which is why some of us are saying some of these people need to find other jobs.
They never fit from the beginning. And I was like, all right, so this is what we have. Let me see how they function. And so then watching the show, I was like, okay, I can watch them because they're weird. Like, they don't go together, but, like, they're strange people. Okay, so I can still watch this. Like, they don't go together to the way, like, an ensemble does, like Potomac or Salt Lake City.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they don't go together in that way. Like, they're not an ensemble. They are coworkers.
And so we want to watch coworkers. We want to watch Weird Coworkers season 3.
Yeah, I watch a lot of reality TV. Some of them are weird coworkers.
But don't you want it to be better?
Well, some of them are fun when they're just coworkers. Like, I do watch Basketball Wives where they're just coworkers. And I watch, you know, Real Housewives of New Jersey where they were all family. So you get a nice little broad swath of people. Like, I feel like the most organic cast is like Married to Medicine. And so you get that as like your high point of like, these people are in each other's lives, where there are cameras or not, they would still go on and be together and be friends and be in the same social network and blah, blah, blah. And you get all the way at the bottom end to like maybe New York at this point. I would have put probably like Basketball Wives in that spot at the very bottom because they just kind of get thrown together for that time period. But maybe Real Housewives of New York is there now because like I'm not sure any of these people would ever talk to each other again if they weren't working together.
Well, now I feel like they're trauma bonded. Oh, wait, that's the wrong way to say that word.
Oh, it's not, that's not how you say it?
No, it's like the trauma bond isn't people bonding over trauma. It's like, I think it's a little bit closer to Stockholm syndrome, where you're like the bond between the person who's doing the trauma.
Oh,
and
you
the
think they're
the
bonded to Brynn in that way?
No, I don't think that they are, which is why I'm saying the use of the word
syndrome
is wrong.
That's Stockholm syndrome when like you are bonded to your captor.
Mm-hmm.
That's Stockholm syndrome. So like Brynn would be the captor and they would be bonded to her. I think trauma bonding is like when you're bonding with, you know, someone else over a shared experience. Isn't
yeah,
that
that's
trauma
the wrong
bonding?
No.
No? Okay.
Trauma bonding is a psychological phenomenon where a person develops a strong emotional attachment to someone who has caused them harm or trauma, often characterized by cycles of abuse and manipulation, leading to confusion and difficulty leaving the abusive relationship, even when recognizing its negative
Everybody's
nature,
using that really wrong.
Essentially feeling a connection to someone who is hurting you. It's also known as Stockholm syndrome, a psychological response to abuse that can create a deep emotional attachment. All
look
of
what
us
we learned on.
No, I,
everybody's
but I was saying
using that.
That
wrong.
I was saying
no,
I,
just, no. Look what we, the audience,
the,
learned.
The community.
Yes,
because I said it out loud, and then I was like, not the right way
so
to say
it. So what? What?
How do we get it wrong?
Say? No, yeah. What are we supposed to say?
Not that,
because we've been saying trauma bond for
I know,
long time.
And we've all been wrong, but we understand what we're trying to say,
right.
And that's important.
So in 10 years, that definition won't be there no more.
Well, in 10 years, we're not. Nothing will exist.
Yes,
so
we will. Oh my goodness.
Whoever's going to tell us what
Jin
words
Shah
mean.
Will be out of jail and back on television.
She's going to be out of jail tomorrow and no one should tell Bravo. Okay? Because people are talking about it too much.
They don't.
It's on their
idea.
Google Cal. I know yeah. It is the day after.
They're
going
to do this special, her walking out of jail like Teresa Giudice. It'll be her and Elizabeth Holmes. Elizabeth will be at the gate waving. Bye, girl.
Lizzie Holmes is so fucking nuts. But my favorite
when's
thing
her
is
her release date.
I don't know.
Maybe it's together. They can do like a little girls' night out party.
Cardio. They've been doing like exercise classes and stuff. Good for Jen. Honestly, develop a skill. We don't
do something.
We would like one that doesn't like hurt grandpas. So
yeah.
Like
she'll
yeah.
come out with like her own line of exercise videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll
would love
I don't
that.
Know, get the substance.
She will. We'll get the substance.
We'll get
asking
the substance.
For Jen Shah back on Bravo is taking the substance, yeah. is what that is. And you know how I know what that's about is because I Wikipedia'd it. Because I
didn't see it.
Absolutely not. Oh. And I've seen, I get so fucking scared. But when I was just back home in Rhode Island, you know what I did watch? Nosferatu.
Why'd you watch that instead of The Substance?
Because I told my brother, I said, I will give you 60 seconds of this. I know I can't watch body gore stuff. Okay. It's too fucking scary. Yeah. But Nosferatu, I was like, I'm going to give you 60 seconds of this. And then we're going to watch Michael Clayton. So we ended up doing both. But Nosferatu, I actually was able to watch all of it.
Oh, good.
Even though I had my head in my hands at one point, because I was like, it's giving me a little camp energy, mm-hmm. number one. And also, they're trying to scare me. But The Substance feels like... They're not trying to. This is just.
They're trying to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I don't.
And
I'm okay with not.
It was good.
I have seen photos.
Team
and I'm okay. It would scare the living shit out of me. I can't do like body horror, but I also can't do horror. But Nosferatu, for some reason, I was like, when I got past the like, you know, castle or whatever, like that, you know, mm-hmm. interesting.
So team Demi Moore.
So maybe instead of watching, New York, we can watch a different kind of horror movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I see the parallel between Nosferatu and the experience of watching this season. I have a new goal for 2025, a new beginning, working on improving my French. We've all heard new year, new you a million times, but why just stick to one version of yourself? Pear Eyewear has tons of shapes and styles to match any new vibe or hyperfixation. So you can keep trying new things and switch up your look anytime you want. Base frames start at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code AndysGirls at PairEyewear.com. I am an absolute eyewear girly. It's even in the illustration for this pod. And I am rocking an acrylic pair of the Soto glasses from Pair Eyewear. I also got a bunch of top frames, black, blush, and for just a little bit of zest, watching Beverly Hills, Diamonds and Rosé, the rose gold sparkle. I like wearing the acrylic on its own, but the great thing about Pair Eyewear is these top frames you get to choose. You snap right on top, and you have a whole new look. It's a budget-friendly way to change your eyewear without compromising on style or quality. And my favorite part about ordering from Pair Eyewear is it's stress-free. There are free returns and exchanges within 30 days, no questions asked. You can also find your perfect frame shape from home with virtual try-on. Show off new sides of yourself this year. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning Andy's Girls, a Real Housewives podcast, the pod you're listening to right now, sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code AndysGirls. Investing can sometimes feel overwhelming with all the fancy jargon that makes it seem more complicated than it really is. Maybe all those finance bros just want another thing they can try and mansplain. Well, Acorns believes that anyone can be an investor. That's why they make it so easy to stick to basic, time-tested principles that give your money a chance to grow. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. Investing, for me, felt like something I couldn't start without a substantial amount of money on hand. That's why Acorns is so important. Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing today. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/AndysGirls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/AndysGirls. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York. And they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. You know, there was one thing. I have a bunch of satchels of gold or listener thoughts and feels that were DM'd to me on Instagram that I'm going to be unpacking. So the episode will be available now when people are listening to this on a satchel spectacular on the AG Patreon. And I got a satchel from somebody that I read right before you came over this morning at 4:45 a.m. Pacific once again. And they were really upset about the way that the conversation had been handled just within the cast in talking about Brynn's experience as a survivor of sexual assault. And I had just recorded a 90-minute episode of the New York reunion. And I don't even think, but there are things that I go, you know, down different paths. And sometimes I forget to circle back. But having a larger conversation about the difficulty of like looping in sort of, I wish you had reported it. This mm-hmm. person is a danger. Just kind of like, I think that was upsetting for a lot of people. Just the way that maybe Aaron was responding to some of this and was so focused on this person is still out there. There being a little bit of a through line or an underline or whatever of like, so you should have done this thing. Can get into really, really tricky stuff. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and acknowledge that I understand why people would be upset about that and why I think it was important for Jenna's response of like...
Yeah, I think you got to see both sides of the conversation.
Yeah, I wanted to acknowledge it.
From Aaron, that seems like the type of thing that she would say.
It does.
It felt completely natural for her. I'm like, of course, that's your opinion on this. Of course, you have no relationship to the rest of the world where we've seen women do this and what has happened to them. Of course, that wouldn't cross your mind.
It's like a storybook kind of response.
Like, of course.
Doesn't mean she's wrong that this person should be in prison. Obviously, people feel that way, but it's the...
But it's like you have no context from the rest.
Exactly.
Like, it seems very Aaron. And then Jenna felt very Jenna and was like, nope, let me remind you of the culture and the climate that we live in and the things that women face. And like, there are so many reasons why you wouldn't. And I also liked Brynn just talking about the shower. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of times there is no evidence because the first thing you want to do is just shower. And it's like, I just need to get this off of me in the hottest water that I possibly can and to forget about it and not think about this anymore. I'm very deep into like the Diddy documentaries. And so And so one of them, you know, she was also talking about the shower. Like it was right after I'd seen Brynn talk about it. And because like she had left the studio and the cab driver looked at her and was like, what happened to you? And drove her to the hospital and she couldn't get out. She's like, I just want to go home and take a shower. I just want to go home and take a shower. And so she wouldn't get out and go into the hospital. She just wanted to go home and take a shower. And so I've appreciated that that came out of Bryn, because I think that part of the conversation where people kind of like, why didn't she report it? Or why she didn't do this? And I was like, no, like live in that space and what you would do when, you know, the thing that is most sacred to you has been, you know,
taken away from you.
Taken away from you. And it's like, yeah, you just want to shower and forget about it. Like you just want to get it off of you. So.
Yeah. I think that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Erin's view here was so simplistic.
But that's how she sees the world. That's how she does everything. That's how she, you know, went from a Trump supporter to like a champion of women's health. It's like, because you have like these very little narrow windows of, you know, this thing I'm focused on. And so this must be the answer without any other context. And so, you know, like her thing was like, oh, I'm pro-Israel, so I have to vote for Trump. And then later it's like, oh, wait. I had an abortion. I need to talk about this. I don't like Trump anymore. It's like you only see things in these little tiny little windows. And so, oh, we're talking about assault. Well, the assaulter needs to go to prison. Like, that's just who she is, as kind of a little bobblehead person. Little girl.
Not a bobblehead.
A bobblehead person.
That's like the meanest thing you could say about someone is that
I didn't make it up. Mary did.
Did she call somebody a bobblehead?
She called Whitney a bobblehead.
Oh, well, that was appropriate.
Little girl.
Yeah, I think I'm really not looking forward to part two. I think it's going to be a tough ride.
You could probably skip it.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
No, because I have come this far, and so I'm gonna watch it, and I'm going to talk about it, and everyone can go fuck themselves, honestly, because I do not want this to happen ever again. I don't think Eric Fuller should be allowed to do anything.
Is that the bad producer?
It is. Okay. And he's had hands in other bad seasons, oh. So of other franchises.
Oh my goodness. What kind of blackmail is he holding?
I don't know, but there has to be someone else on the face of the planet
who can do it better.
Who can do this
Bring
better.
Bring Carlos King back. Sorry, he already has like 5 shows that are terrible, but
I mean, I don't know.
But he'd be producing the hell out of them. I highly recommend Bravoholics switch over to OWN at some point and watch some of those Carlos King shows, because he is doing a great job of producing them.
Why I don't know why he isn't producing on Bravo right now.
Because he has his own show.
Oh, right. Because he yes. has like his own production company.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah,
he's like
Rain
fucking
Entertainment.
Killing it.
He has 5 shows on OWN, yeah. And they're all good. So I'm like, if anybody who misses like Golden Era Atlanta,
yeah.
Highly recommend
okay, I need to switch
hopping
over
to OWN. And like Love and Marriage Huntsville is very, it feels very Atlanta-esque. It's Huntsville, Alabama.
Is that Martell?
Yes, that is Martell.
Yeah, he's a lot.
So funny. No, it's just, it's wild that he manages to find the worst men you've ever met in your entire life and women who married them. And
meaning
put him
Carlos.
On TV.
Oh, yeah, yep. Casting, yeah.
And put him on TV. I'm like, dang, how did you do that? Over and over and over. In every city, D.C., Detroit, Huntsville, just finds the worst men you've ever met.
I don't know what he would do with New York. It would actually be an interesting question for him.
Mm. You know what? Somebody has probably asked him that.
He's been on the pod before. I would love to have him back.
He is somebody.
He and I have very different opinions about Kyle.
Why does
and
he?
And Teresa.
Wait, for Teresa. Well, he worked on New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. So he has like
so
inside
he probably
scoop.
Likes Teresa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does. Yeah. He does. But I think Kyle. Well, I don't know. I think we diverged at a certain point, maybe a little bit.
To where you both used to like Kyle.
I think he's still. Strongly does, and I think I'm like, ooh, left turn a little bit.
Oh yeah, I left Kyle.
No, she's still in my top 5, but I haven't shut up. But I haven't agreed with anything that she has done
at
this
all.
Season, and I think her
0%.
Her
you know
active
what?
Choice
I love how
to live
much
in.
Production hates her this season. They just keep anytime somebody says something, they're like, clip, 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 clip. It's like, are they trying to set it up as like her last season or something?
I think they are.
Did she tell somebody? I was like, I'm not coming back. I was like, fine, we'll punish you.
She not.
He's like, fine, this is what you get.
She not only said that to people, I'm sure, behind the scenes, but quite literally on camera was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore if I'm not going to be treated according to how I feel I should. And the flashbacks of like her being like, this is nobody's business. And then her with like Denise and other people being like, this is our business.
Right.
It's not.
Every time she says something, it's like clips, 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 clips. And I'm like, dang, they hate her.
Here's the thing. I don't like that I always reference this, but I have to start with it. Just as a part of like the German Shepherd community, like the fact that she has a German Shepherd is very meaningful to me. Shout out my...
I don't know what breed any of those dogs are. They're all... There are four of them, right?
Six.
Oh,
and
six?
Yeah, she got a new one in the past year she adopted.
So much poop.
The fact that they're all... I mean, just like I love the way she loves dogs. That's not the only reason that I love her. But like, I don't know, dogs have come up several times in this episode. It's obviously something that I'm processing and preparing for. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I love Kyle. I think that, but the difficulty right now is like the ways that some people are defending her by being like, well, she shared so much of her life is specific to her family life when it comes to her sisters. Mm-hmm. Definitely not her relationship with her husband.
Yeah, she shared so much of her sister's lives.
Right, but also not her relationships with her like friend circle on the show.
And that's girlfriend.
That's a gap that needs to be filled. And it's not the fault of other cast members if they were not a Richard sister. Right. Like, they shouldn't be punished for that. Like, I appreciate what has been shown of the really sad and upsetting kind of like darkness in that family growing up and how it's magnified in adulthood. Absolutely. And like the layers and complications of a family member who's struggling with addiction, like, and just the different roles that those sisters play in not being open and honest with their feelings for each other. Like, there's a lot there. But also, Kyle, come on. Like, that doesn't give you a lifetime permission slip to avoid any moment of discomfort or tension because this other thing happened. And maybe that's not something that she is audibly saying, but it's something I think a lot of Kyle stans say, which I get, but I'm also like,
I didn't know she had stans.
I don't know that I was a... I mean, like, I love Kyle.
I thought you were only a Shannon stan.
No, I stan for Shan.
Yeah.
But I have a top five. There are other people there aside from, like, Shannon this season and Shannon that season and Shannon the other season and Shannon for every season to come. Like, I obviously... Like, Shan... But if people have asked me, like, who's next on your list of dream guests, I never thought that Shannon was possible. My goal that week when that, like, the day that that all came together was to pray for a 10 to 15 minute Zoom. That's what I was hoping for. So when it was like, no, she's giving you whatever time you want, whenever works for you, and she's coming to your apartment, I was on the rug at 1 a.m. on my living room. I said, give me 1 second. And I laid down on the rug in my living room. I was like, holy fucking shit.
And would you lay down like that for Kyle?
I don't think I would be on the rug, but I might be under the desk. Like, I would love to talk to Kyle. It would be, I would really love to genuinely talk to her because there's stuff that I want to hear her thoughts on. Like, I want to hear her responses to stuff. I'm really still very curious about Kyle, which is, no, but like the best quality to have where I'm like, I'm so curious about her. But also, I think she's tired of the show. I don't think she wants to do that.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
But also, like, what is she going to do?
She has more money than God.
Yeah,
until
but she's bored.
Mauricio was like, let's do some more math. Like,
but she's bored.
I think she's ready for the next chapter of her life, and she doesn't want to be bored. I think she's bored doing the show.
Mm.
And I think she's tired of doing the show, and she feels maybe like she is not being treated with the respect that she deserves, but that's not how Housewives works.
No.
It's just not. It's not how it should work. It is how it has worked on Beverly Hills, and that hasn't worked for us.
I think Beverly Hills generally has pretty good seasons. You know, like, I don't, like, Kyle doesn't really even surface to me really most of the time. Okay. Like, it's just kind of a non-factor for...
like glue or vanilla or something.
Yeah, I was like,
oh,
paste? Yeah, it's like she's there. Mm-mm. Okay.
Yeah,
but like, she's, I don't remember her really at the end of a season. I remember the other people, but I don't really remember her. Sometimes I'll remember her like at the reunion, but I don't really remember stuff she does throughout the season. Like, I don't remember any Kyle lines.
The way that you're saying that, the look on your face,
yeah,
of like, LOL.
I don't really. I mean, she's fine. Like, whether she stays, she doesn't, she won't bother me if she stays, and I won't miss her if she goes. How about that?
Okay, I'm just going to say this. And because I think that Kyle is deserving of a lot of criticism, and I have participated in that. What does Beverly Hills look like without Kyle?
It looks like the rest of them. What do you mean? There's six of them on there.
She is not.
You just get somebody else in there.
She is not, nor has she ever been, the alpha of the show. But who's the connective thread?
Oh, they don't have one.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, they really don't have like a leader.
We need one.
Do we? I'm having a good time.
I mean, don't you think that we need, but I don't know where they would find that person because there's nobody with history. Mm-mm. Maybe we just don't. Maybe the crown is heavy.
Maybe they.
No, so, but for real.
Leave it where it is. In the trash. Lisa Vanderpump took it with her.
She took it with her.
And that's fine. The show survived.
And Sutton's like, I bought a couple from Dolce & Gabbana. Doesn't that count? He's like, no, Sutton, it doesn't, babe. It doesn't.
Jennifer Tilly probably has an authentic one somewhere that she can let someone borrow.
Jennifer Tilly in that $700 toaster. I was like, the look what on Garcelle's face.
Woman. I love the look woman on my face. Just wants to spend money. Like, yeah, I'm spending money. Like, I love it. So
you know she's so much fucking fun. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the Paris shows with Jennifer Tilly and go to drinks after, have some pommes frites and some cheese or whatever, and shoot the fucking shit.
I had no idea she was this rich.
No idea nope, she was this
no
rich.
No idea this was rich.
I knew about the poker stuff, but I think yeah, I thought more I thought income was coming from that.
Me too. I thought she was just making like, you know, a little $1 million here or there from a poker tournament or something. I don't even know how much poker tournaments are. But I thought that she was just doing a little, you know, that, and that was it. Had no idea she was filthy rich. Good for her.
Also, the way that she is so direct about stuff and the rest of the cast is like, what's happening?
I like how direct she is about being rich. Mm. Like, she's not hiding it at all. She's like, no, I have lots of money.
Mm-hmm. She has a house for a living room and a house for everything else. Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
And I'm like, that is so refreshing. It was like, being quiet about money. Like, mm-mm. She's definitely not Bronwyn. She's not going to fake return a $4 million necklace because
I thought you meant
too ostentatious.
Bronwyn was quiet luxury. I was did you not see those sleeves? What the fuck are you talking about?
She would never have that as an excuse for anything. Like, she'll be like, oh, $4 million? Not big enough.
Oh, so it was on sale?
Like, I'm putting this
it was on.
On
sale?
Oh, it's a dog collar. It's so cute.
I don't think.
What a joyous lady.
Yeah, I really. Jennifer Tilly was like spot on. Mm-hmm. And where's Kathy at? Are we going to see Kathy?
She's next week. She is being Kathy and interrupting a fashion show, standing in the middle of the runway while a model is trying to walk.
Yeah, that tracks.
I really dislike Kathy.
You know what I haven't seen that I really need to? The second season of Paris in Love. I really like the first season.
I didn't see it.
It's good. It's genuinely real.
I saw like that
real.
One clip where, you know, Paris was talking about, you know, being shipped off and stuff.
Oh, my God.
I saw that piece. That was the only piece I saw, though.
Well, there's a lot there when it comes to her relationship with her mom and her mom not wanting to, like, really recognize and own what happened to Paris and her just her
was
choices.
Your mom's a narcissist.
Well, I heard the second season is like
even more it's dramatic.
I think it gets into more of the tricky territory in their relationship, mother-daughter relationship, which I was like, oh my God, I need to reserve some time. But also I'm extremely behind still on Potomac, and I haven't mentioned Married to Medicine once this season because I haven't had a chance
Married
to watch
to Medicine
it
is messy this season. Like, it's not
in a bad way.
It's not a great season for them because
let's not tell anybody that.
No, it's just like they never have a terrible season.
Right.
I'm saying it's not a great season for them.
Their bad is like the dream situation for any number of franchises.
They're still like the number one show for me and my spirit. Mm-hmm. But like Phaedra just being there and not wanting to be is just annoying. Like, just being in the cast because she thinks she's better than them and she doesn't fit with them at all. And the fact that they cast her still annoys me that they put her on the show in general. They had no reason to cast Phaedra at all. But the fact that they did cast Phaedra just makes her feel like, oh, you cast me to save your little show.
Oh, well.
And that's the way she's moving. And it's just annoying because she's not interesting or funny.
How's Quan doing?
Quan's doing great. She got a new man.
Oh, great.
And the man is fine.
Great.
And he bought her a Rolls Royce.
Shut the
so
fuck up.
So she's doing fabulous. We
great.
Love Quad.
And how's the cast doing with Quad?
A little better.
Good. good.
She is back integrated into the cast because I didn't think she was going to come back. I thought once they kicked her off the wine trip, like that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, she has, you know, atoned and most of the women have moved on. There's still like some lingering. The part that hurts the worst is the fact that it was filmed before the election. And so like they are talking about Kamala and going to the White House together and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be reminded. And then Dr. Contessa is back and she really shouldn't be. She's still feuding with Heavenly for no reason.
Are they doing as little as possible and showing Scott?
Scott is, he's there a little bit. He's hanging out with the men, but he don't hang out with the women because he don't want to be around Heavenly. But he's going out with the men, but the men are fighting this season, which is strange because they don't fight, but they're fighting this season.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve Daddy. Yes. Or it does?
Yep.
Okay.
Him and Greg.
Fuck me.
Because Heavenly, you know, dragged Greg online. Oh, well, but Greg is
the worst.
Right. He is, but, you know, Heavenly was saying so online. And so Greg is wanting to defend himself, but you can't defend yourself against a woman. You go to her husband, and that's Daddy. And Damon is like, this is stupid. Don't bother me with this, kind of.
Yeah, Damon's an adult.
Right. And so they're just getting more and more upset, both of them. And I think they're going to have a physical fight on the beach.
No, they're not.
I saw a clip.
Daddy's not going to do that.
I think Greg is rushing at him or something because, you know, everybody goes to like break them up kind of thing. I think they're going to fight.
That better not happen. Not with my daddy.
Like, absolutely not Daddy Damon.
Not Daddy Damon. Like, leave him out of it.
One of my friends just did he just started Married to Medicine and he watched every season in a month. Like, he completed
That's how it should be done.
In a month. So this is like your cue to the audience. If anybody doesn't watch Married to Medicine, you can do it. You can start it and get up to speed in a month. It is a great watch. Like, and then seeing somebody come to it completely fresh was so fulfilling for me. Like, every other day he sent me a text like, why wasn't I watching this? Oh my God, season 5. Like, just all this stuff. And I'm like, that's right, Chris. Like, it is a good show. I'm glad you have, like, come up with the rest of us.
That is the ultimate love story. Yeah. Like, that's the profile New York Times vows, is the journey of starting and catching up to Married to Medicine. And it's just one of the, I'm juggling a lot with my personal life and like just trying to navigate an awful lot and be as up to date as I can possibly be during a relatively difficult time. But I really will. It might not happen in the frame of time in which I hoped it would, but I also have said for many, there are any number of zillions of episodes of Andy Scrolls where I say Married to Medicine is the top number one show on Bravo. If you're not watching Married to Medicine, you need to start. It's unbelievable. Dr. Simone is like the love of my fucking life.
She's doing good this season.
She always is. Even Cecil, when she's not, so I'm like, yeah, it didn't happen. True. It didn't happen.
And I love her and Cecil's relationship. They're so real.
And the season 5 reunion.
Yep. Best reunion of all the shows.
The shock on Andy's face when he's processing like what happened.
It's one of my top 10 like seasons of television. Like I was thinking about like all of the TV I watch. Mm-hmm. What would be my favorite seasons of television? Mm-hmm. And Married to Medicine season 5 was in my top 10 seasons of television.
How do you feel about Jackie?
Jackie is an old lady. She is like she has that old lady spirit, very nice, nasty church spirit, a very kind of men first approach. Even as a gynecologist, like, she still puts men to like a higher esteem than she does women. Like, when she was talking about, you know, like Black women exaggerating their pain, I was like, I know exactly where that comes from. Like, I know you as an old church lady. Like, I know who you are. I'm not saying this is like Dr. Jackie is a terrible person. I'm like, no, she's a product of her era and her environment. And I know her. Like, that's my aunt. I mean, not for real, but like, that's
the
like,
energy.
Those are my aunts. And not like, oh, you're a terrible person. I was like, oh, no, you're a product of a different era. Like, you know, she's 10 years older than the rest of them. And you see some, like, you see it get less and less. Like, if you go through, like, if you put them in order of age, they get less and less conservative as you get younger. And I was like, yeah, because that makes sense. You go from, like, Jackie down to Simone, down to Heavenly, and then Quad, and then Toya. Like, you get a lot more loose with how you feel about things and how you, like, say things. So I like Jackie, though. I think she is probably one of the most important people in the history of reality TV for the amount of issues that she has brought to light as far as like Black women's health. And she's the one who made me want to be a gynecologist. Like, I want to go to med school to be a gynecologist. I have my little med school fund. I think I told you that on one of the podcasts.
I don't think you did. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm saving up for... you know, because like I work in finance. I don't want to work in finance forever. But I save a little portion of my paycheck so I can go back to med school because I want to deliver babies and I want to set up like women's health centers in underserved communities because like the Black maternal mortality rate is so much higher than white women's. And for me, it started because, you know, they were saying on the show about the mortality rate and I was doing some more research and people don't listen. In general, medical professionals don't listen to Black people when we say we're in pain. And if you're a Black woman, that's like double. And so nobody's like taking your words into account, right? And so I was like, all right, well, when they're in like labor and if something's going wrong, nobody's going to be listening to them because she's a woman and she's hysterical. So being a man in the room to support her and to vouch for her would help her. So I looked into being a doula first because I just wanted to be a man in the room because I was like, I am a man. And so let me use the privilege for good. At least I can be supportive to this woman and like be her advocate. But then I went to NYU has like a doula program that you can sign up for. And I went and I toured and it was all women and they were all very nice and like very supportive. But I just felt like I was intruding in this space that I wasn't supposed to be in. Like they didn't do anything to me. I was like, you know, this feels like very like women should have this. Like I really should not be here. And I was like, how else could I be a man in the room? I was like, I should just be the gynecologist. Like I should just be the obstetrician and deliver the baby because I will listen to her. So obviously your number one, if you're a Black woman listening to this and you're getting pregnant, your number one option is to have a Black female doctor. But barring that, you know, your second option should be a Black man. And the fact that there aren't a lot of Black people in medicine, at least I could add to like the Black, the numbers so that if you can't find a Black lady to be your OBGYN, then I will gladly come and help deliver your babies and make sure everything goes well. So yes, definitely want to be. And my sister was a NICU surgeon. So I'd been around that for a long time. Like she did neonatal ICU. And so she delivered like very... she did surgery on like preemies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of full circle. I went to be a doctor when I was little, but then I didn't have the resources to do so because, you know, the gay thing, my parents weren't supportive and wouldn't pay for school. And I didn't want to take out loans because I was afraid. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'll do something safe instead. But now I'm older and I'm like, the world's burning up anyway. Let me go back to school, deliver some babies.
Wait, we need you to be a doctor.
I know, it's going to be so fun. Can you imagine?
Wouldn't
that be so fun if I was delivering babies?
Well, I don't think.
Well, not your baby.
Right, because I don't want to have. I don't
but
have
just
a baby.
Like, imagine.
Yeah, but I had to convince my surgeon to be my OBGYN after my surgery. And she was like, no, I'm not taking new people. I was like, oh, okay, cool. But we know I'm very chill. And then she and I both laughed. And she's like, okay, you can't like just like randomly contact me. And I was like, I absolutely will not. I absolutely will. But I had to really like steamroll my way into letting, because she's like a big deal or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my goal.
I'm like signing up. I'm like, where's the copay going?
That's my goal. Because I like have a little brunch group. And when we first started our group, we were like early 20s. We didn't have any money. We were just, you know, hanging out. But now over the like past 15, 16 years, a lot of us have become successful. Like one of them has a Tony and, you know, one of them, you know, they have really high positions in their companies and like architects and somebody teaches at Yale and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, we know a lot of people. We should like raise money. Because we know so many people and we have money. Let's like raise money. Like what kind of cause would we do it for? And because we're all like gay Black men, we're like, well, like Black women, like what kind of Black women support could we provide? And we decided to go for like Black women's like health in general, because who were our protectors on the playground? Like who were the people who were support? It was always like Black women made us who we are. So we decided to go that route. And then, you know, married to medicine at the same time, like watching Dr. Jackie like really come into her own as like a national figure for speaking on these issues. It kind of came together at the same time. I was like, I want to do that. So.
Wait, I like,
thanks, Dr. Jackie.
This is so incredible.
Well, everybody should have dreams and goals. Like, you don't have to decide your life at 18 when you go to college. You could make a full tilt. And, like, just reading about other people who, like, switch careers later in mm-hmm. life. Like, even my sister, like, she started out in the NICU. She ended up a professor. She got tired of, you know, it's very stressful with preemies. You lose a lot of them. So she hit her limit and she went back to school and she, you know, was a university professor for something. Mm-hmm. But you can make a switch later in life. All good. My mom had hair salons growing up. She went back to school and she became a kindergarten teacher. She went back to school when she was like 50, 52, 53, something like that. Mm-hmm. Went back to school and she was a kindergarten teacher. So I guess maybe it runs in the family, actually, now that I think about it. I was like, oh, we all do that. Our midlife crisis is go back to school, change your career.
It's not midlife crisis. It's midlife opportunity.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Like, I can choose to change my life at any time.
Yep.
I have to make that choice. It can be scary, but it's incredibly powerful.
So everybody can. Like, if, well, I don't want to say everybody can because, you know, that's like ignoring lots of privilege, but.
And circumstances.
Yeah. But, you know,
if you're thinking about it.
If you're thinking about it, I'd say don't be afraid to, really, because it pretty much always works out. like when
I'm giving eyes.
You know, like when I haven't read anybody who regretted changing their career. Like, I haven't read any of those stories, and I've been looking because I want to read about the people who like left their career and then flopped at the second career. Mm-hmm. Have not seen that.
After the holiday hustle, which I spiritually celebrated at Bluestone Manor, there's nothing like giving your home a little TLC. For me, my decor style is very different throughout my apartment. My living room is really kind of chill, and the clawfish is bright and colorful and fun. And thanks to Wayfair, I was able to find incredible pieces that worked with each individual space in my home. My lighting fixture, which is beautiful, gold, modern. And my air conditioner, necessary when I'm recording an episode where I mention Chris Manzo, is from Wayfair as well. Both of those serve a purpose, but they also look great. I was surprised when I went on Wayfair to see so many necessities, as well as beautiful pieces, lighting, closet organization, spring accents, and more. There's something for every style in every home, no matter your space or budget. Wayfair makes it easy to tackle your New Year's home goals with endless inspiration. They have free and easy delivery, even on the big stuff. Give your home the refresh it needs with Wayfair. Head to wayfair.com right now. That's wayfair.com. Wayfair. Every style, every home. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. And also, if life flops at you, if you're not in a position where you're making that choice, but someone else is making it for you, if your job becomes, if your job is no longer yours to have, like, you can feel lost at sea. That's a completely understandable and oftentimes like realistic perspective. And also there's some, you know, just keep swimming. Oh yeah, God, what am I doing? As Pavitt loves to say, just keep swimming. Listen, this has been such a joy. We've literally been recording for 18 hours. I just really quickly before we stop, it's been a minute. You don't have any plans. Don't worry about it. I already checked.
Okay.
You don't have any plans.
I do have plans.
I know. I'm just telling you that you don't. Two quickies before we wrap, because this has been a long, incredible combo. Just real quick, Gretchen Rossi back on Orange County.
Oh my gosh. A lot of people are like, no, why is she back? I had a good time with her on the show. I want to see her come back. And I want to see what her nose looks like without that filter.
Yeah, and the rest of her face.
Yeah, I was like, what does she even look like? Would we recognize her in a lineup? But I enjoyed her time on Housewives, and I am excited to see her back as an older person. And I guess she's bringing Slade with her. Let's see.
That's the only. That's the only downfall. That's the only downfall. I don't want him to be near it again.
Well, it's like, how long can you call someone an opportunist if they've been married for 16 years now?
And like, why haven't they got married? They just haven't had time. They haven't had time. It's not about the child support.
You know, you don't have to. Like, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell never did.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, they're not saying... They're saying, we're not doing it because we haven't had a chance. Nobody's acknowledging that there's, like, legal financial reasons why he's evading paying child support and some of his child's medical debt. Yeah.
Oh.
That's right, because they don't... He doesn't want it to shift it to her.
Well, that's good of him.
Okay.
So Gretchen doesn't have to pay his bill.
I was in the quiet car on Amtrak, schlepping from Rhode Island back to New York, and that news came out, and I was like, if ever there was a moment that I needed to cackle and scream, I just wanted to know who told Tamara. And I thought they were going to bring back Vicky as a friend of to even out what happened with Shan v. Tam bonded to Alexis. Right. And I was like, I didn't even think about Gretchen. So I was like, they skipped over Victoria. Went straight to Gretchen Christine.
I never heard this as a whisper.
Not even
because
a little.
There were always whispers like, bring Alexis back, bring Alexis back.
Never Gretchen.
Where were the people saying bring Gretchen back?
Nobody.
Who
nobody said
to
it.
Do that?
Just Slade. Just like, Slade at home.
Wow.
You know, if
one thing about Orange County, they will spin the block. Like, they will go and pull somebody back out the dumpster because they've done it. Let's see, they did it to Heather, did it to Tamara, did it to Alexis.
Vicky, kind of.
Now Gretchen.
Taylor, like, from a different franchise.
Right. They would just go, bloop. Who's next? Who else should they bring
out
the
dumpster?
If you say Lynn
Kern, I am throwing you.
Even seeing, like, Joe in the last season, like, pop up at that party. It was just like,
that's all we need of Joe.
No, but it was still
let's
like,
not go too far.
No,
she's great for a cameo.
I don't want her to bring
yeah,
back.
She has like, an Adrian Maloof quality. I want to see her in the background and then off we go.
I love that part where she was talking to the guy and was like, oh yeah, she's the reason that we met. And I was like, look at all this interconnectedness in Orange County. It's a real place with real people who know each other.
All I'm going to say is it's going to be the best season of our lives.
You think so?
Yeah. And Orange County is my number one. I had to say that. I like kind of swallowed it a little bit when I was like, I don't feel like I want to say this out loud to myself. But I was like, you know what? Orange County is my number one.
It is wild that a show going on this long could have hit a peak and then
hit it again.
Yes. Like, you do not expect that. I was like, yeah, they are really firing on all cylinders. I'm so excited. Didn't expect it in any way whatsoever. But good job, Orange County. They have gotten a good little cast together. But
it's
who else should they bring out the dumpster? Is there anybody from the past?
No, keep the cast exactly. They keep the cast exactly as it is.
They brought Gretchen.
Nobody else needs to
come
back.
Nobody else.
Oh, 20, Vicky. Season 20, Vicky. 19 is Gretchen. 20 is Vicky.
But no other previous wives. Like, we're done after that.
I don't think that we're done, but I just think, like, who is next at bat here? But, like, just keep doing what you're doing. Film, I guess they're filming, whatever, give it to me yesterday. Like, I started to panic, genuinely. I was truly panicking because I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to, like, watch it for, like, months. Like, because they have to edit, like, just get in, create a 24/7, whatever, like, give everybody all the money.
Big Brother feed.
Edit in real fucking time. You guys, this is important for
our
country.
The Truman Show that shit.
Oh my God. Oh, I cannot.
So
it'll
be fun.
I cannot wait.
I want to see what her fashions look like. I want to see if she's dressed well.
You know she's not.
I know.
And I love that she's surrounded by all these, like, super, super, super wealthy friends, her, like, weird little friend circle where they all throw these people. And she's just like, she has no, like, that to me is like, yeah, get some of those, like, rich friends on there. And then there's, like, little Gretchen in the corner. Like, let's see that dynamic.
Ooh, but speaking of rich, the Atlanta trailer.
Okay. That's the second thing I wanted to ask you.
They look so rich. Like, oh my goodness, like, bringing some money back. It was like, and then, like, the full body Dubai shot confessionals.
Thank
like,
you.
They look rich, rich. Ooh,
thank
it
you.
Looks so good.
I did a live reaction for the Patreon, just a short 40-minute live reaction to the Atlanta trailer for the Patreon out now. And I clocked the Dubai confessional shot, and I said, she deserves Porsche, everything. shocked.
That is an alpha. That is a leader of a cast.
We needed her back. She is here. I watched it twice because I was like talking to myself probably about Portia during some critical points of the trailer. So thank fucking God I watched it a second time, because the second time I saw that they showed some footage from the salon, I didn't clock it the first time.
They, because they can't edit Kenya out the show.
They could have tried.
She filmed too much. So she's like in 2/3 of the trailer because she was filming.
Well, I think that this happened though a couple weeks into filming, but it was
important. That early?
I think, but I could be 100% wrong, totally wrong.
Yeah, because she's in 2/3 of that trailer.
She is, which was an interesting choice.
Right. And so I'm kind of curious if they will put her in the main cast and then take her out and put Phaedra in, or if she just won't be in it at all.
So I think Phaedra was only there for the last couple weeks, but then said at Bravo Fan Fest, according to Sweet Baby Dylan Hafer, friend of the pod, that she said during a panel that she was in like 5 or 6 episodes of the season. But if she only filmed for a couple weeks, then like what the fuck is happening if she's in potentially a third of the season? I have no idea. My information,
well,
my mind.
I heard
could
that
be wrong.
She has a whole peach, like not a friend. Like she is.
Oh, no, I think she's a friend.
I thought she was cast. That's what I heard, that she was cast for the last part of the season.
Like a backdoor peach?
Yeah, like, because, you know, they've taken people out of the title before.
Yeah.
So why not put somebody in halfway through?
Okay.
Because if I'm, like, if I'm Phaedra and I'm, like, high on my own supply, that's probably, like, that might be a contingency of me coming back, because I don't need to go back to Atlanta. I'm already on a show. I'm on Married to Medicine. I'm on your network as a cast member. Why would I leave my cast member slot to be a friend of?
I don't know. I think it's like, if this goes well, she might be asked back full time.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Maybe, but
it's a calculated move. I mean, would you expect anything less from Phaedra Parks? I'm excited for her press run where people ask her, do you have anything that you regret for the 19th time? And she says, absolutely no regrets.
Not. Yeah, I'm
no
not,
regrets.
Not interested in Phaedra in any way whatsoever. When she showed up in the trailer, I was like, ugh, like she's not funny or interesting to me ever. But, you know, people like her. They like her little reactions.
Her
little reactions. I love how the Married to Medicine cast makes fun of her, like does impressions of her. Like Simone does a great one. You'll love it. Like when you get to that episode, she does an impression of a Phaedra. It was like, yes, because I got to go bury some bodies. And, you know, I'm on 3 TV shows and I got to get out to Hollywood for this premiere, honey. Like it's so, Phaedra is just so up her own butt.
How far behind am I in this season?
Of Married to Medicine?
Yeah, because I started to catch up on Potomac. And then I got a call and I was like, oh, delaying this.
Well, if you're going to catch up on either, it should be Married to Med.
Yeah, that's what
that
I'm thinking.
More,
I need to switch
that
over.
That was more entertaining.
I got to switch over to Married to Med and then I'll circle back to Potomac.
That's fine. Potomac is just Potomac. It's just flat right now.
Also, happy Black History Month.
Tomorrow?
This is airing in February.
Oh, okay. So allegedly.
Allegedly it's February?
No,
or
allegedly we get one.
Well, this is the new federal government.
Allegedly
so
we get a Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month. In advance, happy Holocaust Remembrance.
So you have to catch up
May.
On all the Black shows this month or they will cancel you. I'm sorry.
I think I already am because I'm behind.
Yeah, so you have to catch up on Potomac
immediately.
And Married to Medicine. There you go. You can do it.
I can and I want to.
I mean, you have less to watch. You know, Salt Lake City's over.
How
and
dare you
no,
say that?
Salt Lake City's
no, it's
over,
continuing forever.
New York is over.
Thank God.
So now you have time.
Yeah, now I do.
Because that was a lot at once. They had like 4 shows on.
And Atlanta starts in March 9th.
Yes. So we get a
and
little
then something
break
else
where
is
it's
happening.
Just Beverly Hills for a while.
There's another franchise that's happening. Summer House. Isn't there another Housewives? I swear to God.
No, because we have Married to Medicine and Potomac on Sundays, and then Salt Lake and New York air together.
No, but wasn't there another franchise that's
Beverly
coming
Hills.
Out? I forget. I feel like I did
Is Miami
another.
Coming?
I think soon, right?
Maybe. New Jersey's not, so it must be Miami if anything's coming. If anything's coming, it's Miami.
Maybe the real New York?
The who?
Like the actual Real Housewives of New York, since what we're watching doesn't count. Maybe they have like one hidden and they're like, surprise! Like,
who's in it?
Maybe it'll like premiere April 1st. None of these people.
like who is in the show?
I don't know, just me and like yelling at Bethany. In my mind, it'll be a real interesting psychological.
That's all the shows.
Character study.
Oh, there's some new one just got cast or whatever. Like somewhere in Canada just got cast again.
I don't know. Allegedly, Real Housewives of Rhode Island is happening.
Oh, I saw that too. I'm like, for what? There's like three people who live there.
I'm from Rhode Island.
You don't live there either.
I know.
So I'm like, three people
live there. I'm so into it. I was super against it because I was like, this isn't going to be whatever. But now I'm into it. Now that I get that, like, they're going for I think that they're going for some weird version of original New Jersey. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I thought they were going for like Mob Wives meets I think the that's yacht. What
they're I would hope for us that we could dream big enough for a yacht, but like, no,
the boat.
It's going to be a boat in the water.
That's what we really need. We need a Mob Wives reboot.
I think you're getting it in Cranston and West Warwick.
Well, if Drita can take a train.
Oh my God. That meat locker. Remember when they did a reunion in the
Get
meat locker?
That is the definition of on-site. I actually like watch that for endorphins.
Where can I watch it? Is that on Paramount? Is that on Paramount Plus?
It's on Paramount. I watched I watched all five seasons on Paramount.
Fuck me. It's been a minute.
Year.
Oh my God. It's all been a minute.
And it hit just as hard. They have the same fight over and over for 5 years and it never got old.
Wait, and Big Ange, may her memory be a blessing.
That part, that hurt.
That hurt.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, toward the end. Because they filmed like the last one, like not long before she passed away, because she like left halfway through because she was there for the beginning and they were like very respectful, kind of like talking about the 5 years of Mob Wives. And then she left and then Drita came in to fight. So it's like, that's right. We don't need to be fighting in front of Big Ange right now.
Remember when Big Ange was like at lunch with her son? She was talking about this guy who was like courting her and he was like, he's a murderer. And her son's reaction was like, we're still good people. Yeah. Don't judge a book by its murder. Like
wild. Like, can we,
iconic.
Real Housewives of Staten Island.
I love her.
If we're going to do New York, just do it on Staten Island.
I feel like at points with New Jersey, we did. So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Listen, we've recorded for 18 hours. You got here at 3:15 a.m. Central Time. And I'm just so appreciative and thankful. You know, I would record with you literally every day if I could. I think you like messaged me about something unrelated. And I was like, hey, speaking of that, why don't you come on the pod tomorrow?
Because you were on Instagram simping for Heather. And I was like, this is wrong. And you're like, imagine if there was a place where we could talk about it.
That's like dangling carrot. Like,
and then I was like, I'm free on these days.
And I was like, let's do it. Let's deep dive. Listen, obsessed with you, die for you. Everyone needs to read your work. Where can people follow you? Is there any way that we can like support you becoming a doctor? Just like,
no, I wouldn't want to like take people's money.
Or just like, I don't know if anybody knows a good.
I
don't even know what.
I will put some. I'll send you some links to two of the maternal charities that we support.
Incredible.
Here in New York.
They're
I'll
in the show you, notes for this episode. Yeah,
so
support them.
Those,
they're in the show notes for this episode right now. Look at how the future works.
Yep. So yeah, I'll send you those.
Do you know the names of them?
No, I don't want to mess anything up. Because,
it's a fun surprise when you look in the show notes for this episode. Yeah. It's Black History Month. Let's support organizations focused on Black women, maternal health. Yep. Very important.
Good job. Yeah, I like that. That's a good shout out. But no, just you can see me at overpricedvodka.com. I think I'm going to write something about Mary Cosby, actually. I want to write something after this conversation that we just had.
Okay.
I'm going to call it The Curious Case of Mary Cosby.
Do you want a hyperlink to the podcast?
Yeah, I'll put the podcast in.
You know what? It's just would be a thing. Would be a nice little, me reading and be like, oh, what's that podcast?
What's that?
That's I can't wait to read that. That's going to be good. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And where can people follow you on social?
If you type overpriced vodka anywhere, it's just me. I took it everywhere I could find it. So I took it on Blue Sky. I took it on Twitter. I took it on Facebook. I took it on Snapchat. I took it on TikTok because I thought that it was wild that nobody had taken that name. So I just took it everywhere.
Also, while we were recording, apparently the Potomac reunion came out.
The trailer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sorry. The trailer. Not like they didn't like drop the full episodes, which, again, is like Sarah. catch up because so I'm not going to get the context.
You can't even react to it.
I certainly wouldn't do a live reaction for the trailer right. because like, I don't know the context. I know everybody's upset at Mia and like, I'm like trying to catch up. I'm still in the fight.
In second place for best housewife this year is definitely Stacey from Potomac. Mm-hmm. I think she is the best first season housewife maybe of all time, other than original cast kind of stuff.
Oh my God.
She is having a stellar season. What a breath of fresh air. Never seen a housewife like her in my entire life. Didn't think she would fit in with the cast at all because she's so like naive and Christian and mm-hmm. like, how is she going to fit in with these women? Perfect. Like, she's just like an angel. Like,
shut up.
Lovely woman. And not afraid to have a little drama, though, but like in a Christian way. Like, love her so much. Her and her weird boyfriend. Such.
I hope she can have sex one day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when you catch up.
Okay. Because I've been introduced to her. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like 8 episodes back, maybe.
Yeah.
So, and they keep coming. I'm like, Jesus.
I would love to discuss her relationship because I do not feel the same way that everybody else does about him.
It's good.
I feel better about him than everybody else does.
Okay, you're like, going to come. See, like this is now you dangling the carrot to me.
Him.
I dangled, and okay. Now you're dangling.
I feel like I understand him a bit, so.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Well, okay. Now, okay, this is how you're going to get me. It's like, now I'm like, well, I want to do that episode with you, so now I will absolutely watch. Even though every time I've said I was absolutely going to watch, I plan to absolutely watch. Should happen.
Something happens, right.
Listen. Speaking of things happening, join the Andy Scrolls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. As mentioned, that Satchel Spectacular, Deep Diving, Real Housewives of New York, and so much more is out now. That Reading Rainbow with the Uba Glamour interview, as well as a live reaction to the Atlanta trailer. You can find those episodes at patreon.com/AndysGirls. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month is where the bonus episodes kick in. You get 2 a month. $10 a month gets you 4 episodes a month. And then there's a premium tier where you can record a Zoom Kiki with me for the Patreon or privately. And thanks to all the AG Patreon supporters. You can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Slide into my DMs with your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives, Bravo, and more. This was a joy.
Yep.
Mary Petangelo.
Bye, y'all.
MD. Future cast member, Mary Madison.
That's right. That's good.
You could start to host those reunions.
Oh, okay. Let's not go that far.
It would be good. Can you imagine you as a host of reunion? I can. I would like to watch that. I would like to watch that now, please.
Okay. Well, go ahead and put the bug in somebody's ear. I'll definitely be as good as Nicki Minaj. She did the Potomac.
Yeah, I was about to say she didn't do Mary Madison.
No, she did a Potomac.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're just saying as a guest star.
A guest.
Is she the only person who's guested? Yep. Right.
Wild.
Wild. All right. This was a joy. Happy, I don't even know what
Happy
day this
Black
is coming.
History
Happy
Month.
Black History Month. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.